I don't think there's any shame in kind of saying that things evolve over time and you get better. But the lessons that could have been learned for the rollout of the student workshops, there's definitely lessons there that can be learned that can be applied in the context of corporates or local authorities or ideally with communities.
Welcome to Smart in the City, the Babbel podcast. I am your host, Tamlin Shimizu, and really at Babbel, we aim to connect the players in the smart city industry with high quality information and ideas through our platform and services. This podcast is really an extension of this goal and mission to drive the change for a better urban life. Before we get started, I wanted to inform all you lovely listeners about a great opportunity. Babbel has extended the deadline for the Innovation Market Watch for 2023. So top smart city companies are invited to apply before the 30th of September, and it's completely free. So just follow the link in the show notes. So welcome back to our series with Dublin. During this episode, we are venturing into Smart Docklands, located in the heart of the city and a major center of innovation and employment for the city. And today, of course, another special guest with us, Dirok Makdanika, who is a program manager at Smart Docklands. Thanks for being with us today, Dirok.
Thanks a million, Tamlin. No pressure calling me an expert, but I'll happy to chat and really looking forward to it.
Yeah, no pressure. But I know you're very enthusiastic and knowledgeable about everything with Smart Docklands. So
pressure is a privilege. We're okay.
Good. I like that to start us off. So, and I'm wondering to get us a bit warmed up in the spirit of things, if you could pick three words to describe Smart Docklands, what would those three words be?
I could probably pick three that would be the exact same. I would say engagement, collaboration, partnership. But if I was going to go for three, I'd probably say engagement, connectivity, and environment, probably. And then to address like climate change. Yeah. But I probably have engagement there to the fore, to be honest.
So engagement is seeming like the forefront of this conversation, but
yeah, I'm not so subtly signposting engagement as a big thing to talk about.
Good. Well, I'm excited to talk about that. So without further ado, we'll just jump right in. Can you tell us a little bit about your background, though? How did you get started with this?
Yeah, so I was from a research perspective. I was on a research program that was looking at smart cities from 2013-14 for a couple of years. And we were looking at smart cities and how they develop in practice. And we had two test cities. We had Dublin and Boston. And we were based in Maynooth University. It's in Kildare, it's just outside Dublin. And at the time, it was about, you know, kind of marrying what the theoretical considerations around smart cities were with what was happening in practice. And at the time, Dublin was just kicking off its smart city journey. It was trying to articulate what a smart city was, how the city could take an active role in it. And this person called Jamie Cudden came out to Maynooth University one day, and he spoke about Dublin's vision for a smart city. And he said, look, we're trying to develop this unit and part of the embedded within the council and trying to coordinate all this sort of stuff. And I remember going back thinking, that's nice. I'll probably never see him again. And then fast track a couple of years, things are an awful lot different. And basically, you know, from that, I had built up a very like small scale relationship with Jamie and the initial team as to what it was, what they were going about doing. And at the time, it was really two or three people who were involved. And it's spanned now to, you know, 30 people, and when you take in different partnerships that we have at universities, that goes up to, that multiplies to 40, 50, 60 people very quickly. But really, I went to Vancouver in 2019, and Smart Dublin was developing districts like Smart Docklands and other ones like Smart Dunleary and DCU. And I was in Vancouver, and things were going fine. And it was coming up towards the end of my 2-year period. And it was there's going to be a whole host of Irish people living in Vancouver for the next while. So there's, you get a 2-year visa. And essentially at the end of the 2-year visa, you decide if you want to stay on, and you can apply for a 5-year visa, or you can do whatever. But we were coming to myself and my girlfriend were coming to the end of this. And I said, I'm not going to be looking for something unless it's smart city specific. And it's a step up in my career. And I never went on LinkedIn, but like never, to be honest. I do it a lot more routinely now. But I went on LinkedIn the next day and I saw this job offer pop up for this job candidate for a smart documents program manager. And I don't really believe in fate, but I probably believe in timing. And I kind of thought that's exactly what I just backed myself into the corner to look for this job. And thankfully, everything worked out. So I did the interview at 4 o'clock in the morning with time difference. So that was, I was in a room that was more dimly lit than this. So I had about 20 candles in the room to try and give some artificial light in the interview. But, thankfully it worked out. And yeah, I haven't looked back since. It's been really good. Like it was a main reason to come back for. And I'm really delighted that the job lived up to what it expected it could have been. And it's been really, really enjoyable.
That's quite the story. And I guess also the moral of the story is then for a job interview, make sure you have romantic mood lighting in the background and you're a sure fit for the job, right? So so about Smart Docklands then. So what makes Smart Docklands special? What are some special highlights maybe from Smart Docklands? And I guess we also spoke, you know, with Smart DCU, like what makes it stand out from what are the differences in your programs?
Yeah, so I mean, like a big part of the Smart Districts model is that we are trying to collaborate with different people. So myself, Kieran from DCU, Connor from Dunleary, Barry Rogers, who would be over the Smart Tourism Program. Like we do meet to try and make sure that there is a sense of alignment. But the difference between the Smart Districts is that there's probably a different thematic focus on them. So Kieran's is, you know, he's the microcosm of the city. But in Docklands, it's really about education, engagement and connectivity as a baseline. So the connectivity that underpins everything that wants to happen with a smart city. So that's the provision of open Wi-Fi in a city, or it's the future of 5G in a city. If we stay long enough, it'll go from 5G to 6G and everything that has to happen in that regard, maybe. And it's really, I suppose what makes it unique is that it's an engagement program to accelerate sustainable innovation in cities. And it's co-funded and it is a partnership between Dublin City Council and the Science Foundation Ireland Research Centre Connect, which is the centre for everything focused on future networks and connectivity. So their expertise is everything from telecommunications and all the research and development around it. So we're really at the epicentre of everything from the expertise that we get from the Connect Centre, from the connectivity focus side of things. But then we are the area that the Docklands is. It's probably quite unique to other areas in the city because there's a really high density of high tech companies in the area. A lot of them have their EMEA headquarters there. All the Meta, Twitter, Google, everybody is kind of in this very small density of an area. As well as that, like you have like a very vibrant startup ecosystem and you have a lot of people popping up with that. You have that through Dogpatch Labs. You have it through Trinity's Tangent program, which is another startup ecosystem. And our role really is to act as an honest broker, or I've kind of tried to say in a little while, we act as a middleman, and we're trying to work in the nexus between academia, local, central government, tech companies, businesses, residence groups, and communities to try and see if we can address local challenges. And we can maybe highlight what people are doing at different times. And a big part of it is identifying, you know, innovation that's already going on in the Docklands, because a big part of what the district approach tries to show is that, like, you know, that there was a lot of, before Smart Dublin became a thing, there was smart projects, but it probably wasn't coordinated in any kind of systemic way. And that's a big part of what we're trying to do here. And then obviously then we probably do have a focus on engagement through a couple of things that I can speak about later. But yeah, really, we're just kind of, we're at the doorstep of a lot of different things and we're in the middle. And yeah, it's very exciting, and it leads to be honest, a very varied day. So like, if I take honestly yesterday I had conversations with academic researchers about nature-based solutions, citizen science solutions, how we could incorporate the local community into citizen science projects, everything from engagement to students, hiring a role to look at training local authority staff and upskilling them on smart city technologies, up until including as well a meeting with Google and their environmental insights team, as well as then being at a pitch for student demos from Dogpatch Labs about kind of young entrepreneurs and they're kind of looking at stuff that they could do. So the day can be extremely varied, but it keeps it very exciting, and thankfully it keeps it very fresh.
Yeah, you sound busy also. Coordinating.
Yeah, my email works, I'll put it that way.
Coordinating a lot of moving pieces. So do you have perhaps a story, so a project or something along those lines that you would like to highlight? And in particular, I always like asking together with that, maybe a challenge with the project, some kind of lesson learned as well.
Yeah, so I can kind of give like the lineage of the kind of Smart Docklands was launched in 2018, and it was launched at a global gathering of city technology and information leads. And at the time, it was done in partnership with the Harvard Technology and Entrepreneurship Center. And it was really selected to be a smart city testbed in a designated part of the city. So it was really about fast-tracking innovation in a part of the city and kind of working with different operational units in Dublin City Council, working with researchers, and then working with the various different types of communities, be they residents, businesses, tech, academia, research centers. And it was about kind of like fast tracking stuff and kind of going from there. So it was about testing and trialing solutions. So what happened was, it was probably, you would have an emphasis on, you use community engagement to articulate challenges that were affecting the local community. And the team did that before, and they addressed like challenges. They had about 300 challenges that were affecting different ways, and they did like systemic review of that, and they tried to come up with solutions based off that. And some of the pilots they developed, you know, have been, thankfully we're lucky that some of the pilots that developed have gone on and they have become business usual services, or they've been scaled up, which is fantastic. But I suppose in terms of highlighting one, what we kind of found as we were kind of developing up is really that, you know, as you're continuing to develop pilots and whatnot, you need to marry engagement and awareness with an increased level of training. Mm-hmm. And that's only become more and more important as time has gone on. So a lot of the times, if you're seeing like the pilots that have gone on, the work that went into them was absolutely phenomenal, because you have to organize the innovative, and it was an innovative procurement model was developed to allow these sort of pilots to go in. But pilots can be a real labor of love. And like, you're trying to create champions, to get champions there. You're trying to get them there. You're trying to, essentially, you're trying to work with units to kind of say, here's how this piece of technology could help your day-to-day services or your business as usual services. And you're trying to put that on top of their day-to-day work practices. So they have a certain amount of stuff that they need to do. And then you're trying to say, this could help you as well, but it might be additional workload for them. And then sometimes when they kicked off, you're trying to evaluate the maturity of the technology, all that sort of stuff. So what becomes a lot easier in life is that if you have as much champions as you can for what a smart city can provide and what these different technologies can do for you. And a lot of it is essentially around essentially kind of telling people what sort of these technologies are, what are maybe the ethical or the data considerations that you might consider them, and how could it benefit them. So one pilot that we started off with was Academy of the Near Future, which was essentially this education program that we wanted to have that would upscale and train city staff and students about what the smart city concept was, what it entailed, what are the considerations, and how it could either for students, you know, basically influence their future career decision making, or for local authority staff, how it could be embedded in their day-to-day work practices. And that started off, and we did a series of workshops, and it kind of gone in from there. And what we've done in the last while is we have focused on transition year students first. So transition year is a year for people in and around the age of 15 to 16 in the Irish secondary school system. And it's included a number of workshops that have gone into, so it happened last year, and 1,000 students attended these workshops across Ireland. And it was essentially interactive, intuitive workshops where children were taught about how technology shapes the places they live in. And it basically improved their ideation, their creativity in terms of these different types of technologies and how they were relevant to them. And, you know, I've seen some of this stuff in practice, and Grace Darcy is the person who's led on this to date. And, you know, it's been absolutely fantastic. You know, it's been the amount of work that goes into the development of the workshops and to make sure that they're intuitive and in line with what students are going to be able to engage it is one thing. But then to put it into like this bigger articulation and have it in line with Smart Docklands is a separate entity, is a separate achievement in and of itself. And, you know, that's basically grown legs. And next year, it's going to go on. So this year, it was a 1,000 students. It was a one-time visit. So went to schools, did the workshop, evaluated it, left. But this time, it's going to be, schools are going to be visited 3 times. And by the course of those 3 times, a citizen science project is going to be set up with them, which is in line with another research project, European research project called iChange. Mm-hmm. So it's about basically showing them how it's explaining to them the importance of citizen science and showing how their work can be incorporated in. And it's been absolutely massive. And it's taken on a lot of different things that we had a week long program last year called Design Your Future City, where we brought in 20 children from the Dublin area. And they came in and they had various talks and workshops with people about technology, how it was relevant to them, how they could use it. And after the end of it, then we basically were kind of like trying to say, like, how could we develop this more? And this subsequently developed into maybe creating a link between businesses and corporates in the area and between potential work that students could be providing. And that's kind of morphed into something that we're finessing at the moment, which is called Change Makers, which is essentially about articulating having a process between industry CSR objectives and research opportunities and daily operations that we could have. So there's a lot of work involved in it, and we're very conscious that everything we're trying to do is for the public good and to improve the life of citizens. And one thing that I'd particularly like to highlight about Academy of Their Future is that the remit that we're trying to focus on is about communities that are probably underserved from STEM, so science, technology, education, maths, from those areas that it's not engineering maths, rather, that it's not a case of serving people who already have like good STEM outreach programs, and predominantly then trying to have like a 60-40 split between a more female participation as well. So it's really the goals that have kind of been embedded into it have been absolutely fantastic. And we're looking to do that again with our with the Changemakers program in a similar vein to make sure that everything is in line, and as well with our community engagement outreach, which is someone has just started in the not too recent past. So yeah, really, like my kind of goal is that the lesson is really to try to make sure that all these programs, if they're fantastic and ambition, but it's to make sure that they're aligned, that they aren't distinct from each other, that the underlying core of them and the mission that they're trying to do is quite similar with a slightly different engagement audience, if you know what I mean. So you have students, you have corporates, you have community engagements. We're all looking, trying to do similar things, and where in possible, we can join in together.
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing. I was going to ask you also about the Academy of the Near Future. So I'm really glad that you spoke about that. I was like, wow, that sounds very futuristic. And I was very curious to learn more. I'm just wondering also from your experience, so with engagement, how have you had to change the method of achieving these goals dependent on the audience? So when you speak to different people, to children, to corporates, like how does that messaging have to change?
Yeah, I mean, it has to be something that's thought about to a massive extent. With the corporate side of things, we're finessing that at the moment. In parallel to that, for the focus on students, we're going to be developing another stream. Another person will be coming on board to focus on upskilling local authority staff and essentially saying to them, here are the newest level of technologies here so you can engage with it. And it definitely takes a really unique skill set to be able to do that because the way that you, like you've articulated, the way that you talk to a 16-year-old, it can be quite hands-offish. It can be make sure that they have the freedom to ideate and that they don't have a lot of adults staring and standing on them. They're not under pressure to perform, particularly if they're not used to this kind of environment. Versus when you're trying to get in from the local authority staff, it's probably trying to get champions for already existing projects to say, you know, ideally you have someone kind of saying, like, I was skeptical initially myself, but here's how it helped my life and here's how it helped my daily work practices. So it is massive. And, you know, like, unfortunately or fortunately from my perspective, it does take really capable people to come in and do that and to even be aware that that's going to be an issue, that you're not going to be able to do the same workshops. And thankfully, the Smart Docklands team is really intuitive in that regard. And like, we will sit down and we will essentially do mock workshops with the Smart Docklands team and the Smart Dublin team just to try and make sure that the messaging and that the rollout of these workshops is done ahead of time. So like it's almost kind of like the overarching message of what it's going to be is one thing and the delivery of the workshops is the other thing. And it's trying to meld them together and to make sure that it is thing. And like we'll probably have for the corporate side of things, we're looking to have workshops in the near future. I say in the near future, way more in life than I ever did beforehand. But we're looking to have them with a couple of trusted partners and trusted kind of people that we're aware of that, you know, that here's what we're kind of thinking of. How does it reflect from CSR programs that you might have engaged with previously? How does it address maybe some of the inefficiencies that you come across before in how you've engaged with them before? So it is like test and trial. And I don't think there's any shame in kind of saying that, you know, things evolve over time and you get better. But the lessons that could have been learned for the rollout of the student workshops, there's definitely lessons there that can be learned that can be applied in the context of corporates or local authorities or ideally with communities. But fortunately, from my perspective, it's about the power of personality as well. And we're very lucky, and I/ Smart Docklands are very lucky that we don't miss out on that.
Yeah, very nice. Now I just want to give you, we're running a bit out of time, but I could talk to you about engagement, I think, for hours. But I want to give you the floor. Maybe you also want to continue talking about engagement, but maybe you want to touch on anything else that you think it's really important for our listeners to know about Smart Docklands and the work that you do. So you can take the floor if you'd like it. You don't have to take it, but I give it to you.
Oh, I suppose if you give it to me, I might as well take it. No, it's basically what I've kind of found with kind of Smart Docklands and what I think is was the overarching plan originally, and it's definitely become that way, is it's about bringing innovation to life, and it's about showing practical implementations of technology. So high impact, low cost application of technology, ideally. And I think that what I've started to do a lot is to do innovation tours of the Docklands. So to talk about, say, physical applications of technology that are in the Docklands, but also pointing to a number of projects that we have done in, like, so we have a 5G testbed. We have a number of low powered sensors networks. We have stuff for ring buoys, stuff that scaled up from initially pilots to business as usual services. And I think that it's, you don't have to go to, from an Irish perspective, you don't have to go to a Barcelona or an Amsterdam to see this sort of stuff. This stuff is happening in real time. And I think that some of the best experiences that I've had has been, you know, we've been at conferences and people have said, you know, I wasn't aware that Citi was doing this. It's fantastic that they are. How could I get involved? How could we help out in any way? And, you know, I think that that's only going to increase as time goes on. And I would just say that, like, if you do have any interest in technology in Dublin or particularly in the Docklands area, like, we'd absolutely love to hear from you and love to have conversations with you. The team is extremely capable and quite widespread in the kind of sense of the thing. And we're more than welcome to and more than happy to coordinate between ourselves, DCC, Dublin City Council, and Trinity, and with the Connect researchers. So we're trying to, you know, facilitate research opportunities for applied research as much as possible. And obviously the future of telecoms and the future of connectivity is a big aspect of that. And only a couple of weeks ago, we had a workshop at Smart Docklands, had helped organize it, where we had infrastructure providers, academics, local authorities, people involved with telecoms, discussing what Dublin needs to do or could do for the future connectivity in the city. And something that I took away from that I thought was really indicative of the group that we have and how lucky we are, is that some of the main conversations around it is, how do we make sure that connectivity in the city is distributed equitably and that everybody in the city is kind of has equal access to the highest connectivity possible. And yeah, that's, look, it's, we are covering like a fair amount of stuff, and everything from the 5G testbed, 3D modeling, open Wi-Fi, mobility solutions regarding to Dublin Cycle Buddy. There's a whole host of things you could do, and by all means, reach out to me personally or to the info at Smart Docklands account, and be happy to have a conversation with you. My example later on about the breadth of conversations is really, really welcomed, to be honest. And yeah, looking forward to it in the future.
Amazing. I really love when cities are so open to having these discussions with external stakeholders, et cetera, as well. So yeah, so that is amazing. So I learned so much in the span of 20 minutes here, but I want to move on to a short segment of ours. And it's one of my favorite segments, and it's called Roll with the Punches.
Roll with the Punches. Answer this or that questions quickly and with your first instincts.
And we'll just go through it quickly, and then at the end, you will get the chance to explain your answers if you'd like. Are you ready? Okay, sounds good. Solar or wind energy?
Solar.
Engagement or education?
I don't know why I decide solar when it rains all the time.
Engagement or education?
Engagement.
Past or future?
Future.
E-bikes or regular push bikes?
Regular push bikes.
Do you want to explain any of your answers?
I suppose on the engagement and education one, in Smart, we would view that like very interlinked, mm-hmm. in some ways. So that's probably outside of the bikes one. I really have to buy a bike and get far better at using it. That's a shameful omission on a podcast. But the engagement and education bit is probably, we would view it as quite similar. That we would have an engagement process, an engagement initiative through like Changemakers, our community engagement, Academy of the Future at large, that it's really a dual focus, that it's engagement and education.
Yeah.
Call it smart education. You can put that noun for it if you want to, or an adjective rather. What was the other ones? Solar or wind? I mean, the reason I probably went for solar straight off the bat was because there's over 400 big belly bins in the city, and they're all solar powered bins.
Oh, wow.
So they're all solar powered bins, and they have a compactor on top of them. So the compactor kind of basically just compresses the waste. Mm-hmm. So the waste management services in Dublin City Council don't have to be driving around the city as much as possible. So they can have dynamic routing. They can only go for a period of time. But then what we're looking to do as well is to increase, to think of an asset, think of it, anything on the streetscape as a dual asset. So a bin isn't just a bin. A bin could be a receptacle for open Wi-Fi. You could mount air quality sensors, noise quality sensors onto it, and you could kind of go at it from there. So that's probably why I went with solar. The bikes, I don't know why I went with the bikes. I think like it's do you burn more calories if you're on a normal bike? Maybe, I don't know.
Love e-bikes, so that's my thing. I live at the top of a hill, so you know, an e-bike is my best friend. So
yeah, and probably people have spoken about it as well, that you know, there is a smart mobility hub connected with Smart Dublin, and it's about like, you know, getting people to, it's essentially a behavioral change project that people will, you know, if they're coming into work, that they won't take their car, that if they need to take journeys of a certain time, that they might take an electric bike or an electric car sort of stuff. So I'll probably toe the party line and not say electric bike if I was going back and doing that again. But
it's okay. It's not meant to be definitive answers. It's just meant to, you know, make you say, okay, that's a weird question and make you choose. So, thanks for playing along. And now I just have one last question for you. And it's a question that we ask every guest. And the question is to you, what is a smart city?
I think using a smart city is the use of tech to improve people's lives and the lives of citizens in cities. I think that it's probably it was the main thing when I was looking at smart cities from a research perspective, that the definition of smart cities was so broad and it was so varied that it almost became a term that lost its currency.
Yeah.
In the sense that like it probably became a little bit gimmicky in the sense that it could be all things and all matters to all men. Whereas I think that what we're trying to do is as a program is really kind of demystify it and to essentially say that this isn't, it can be in certain contexts, but it's not always like a far in the way futuristic city. This is technology that's happening right now. Yeah. And this is what the council is doing. This is the type of research that is happening in Trinity about stuff. And this is not 10, 20 years away. This is, you know, 2 months away, 2 years away, whatever you're having. And this is, this is it. But I probably wish that it was, the definition was a little bit clearer, because I've had to spend a number of years explaining what a smart city is to people. Same. So I'm very acutely aware of this.
Yeah, that's why we also ask this question, you know, because we do get varied responses, but I feel like it does clear it up for people as well, like this image in their head of what it really is. And most of the time people answer in different words around what you just said, and that it's a progression, right? Also, it's a spectrum. There's not a smart city and a dumb city, and there's nothing in between. But really, this using technology to improve people's lives is really at the core. So,
yeah, and I think that progression you mentioned is exactly, probably it chimes in 100% to what I said earlier about the longer that Smart Docklands has gone on, it has been more of an emphasis has come up on the training and the thing, because people are literally, they have different perceptions of what a smart city is and what maybe your perception of it is or what your definition of it is. So like that has just probably come, you know, hand in glove with the fact that it is this kind of slightly opaque thing that nobody wants to be a dumb city. So yeah. I think that we all have to become a smart city.
Yeah, absolutely. With that, I will leave it on that note. And I want to say a huge thank you to you, Darak. Thank you for coming on. And I'm very much looking forward to hearing so much and seeing all the things that are happening in Smart Docklands and in Dublin as well, of course. So yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks, Manny, for having me. Appreciate it.
And to all of our listeners, don't forget you can always create a free account on babel-smartcities.eu to find out more about smart city projects, solutions, implementations, and more. So thank you all. Thank you all for listening. I'll see you at the next stop on the journey to a better urban life.